today. Today is Baptism Sunday, and I am grateful to be able to celebrate baptism. We'll be doing that at the end of service, so all of our candidates for baptism, I'll dismiss you in just a little bit. I will say this, if you're feeling inspired, you weren't prepared to get baptized today, but you feel inspired and want to be baptized, we do have extra towels, and we don't mind letting the floor get a little wet if you don't mind getting a little wet. That's what we're all about, so we want that. So when we do that, if you're prepared, when I dismiss them, if you're interested in being baptized, you can just go out into the hallway and we'll get you lined up and we'll make sure that you get a towel. This morning, I want to start a little bit differently. We're going to continue in our series called Blank Space, and today we're going to talk about soul space. The two places we're going in Scripture are Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to go to Psalm 46. So you can go ahead and begin turning there if you want to. Hebrews 12 and Psalm 46. We'll start in Hebrews first. Hebrews 12 first. So I just want to read this real quick as we get started today. And I know some of you have walked into church today carrying very different emotions. For some, the headlines of this past week have left you heavy, grieved, angry, and even confused. Others of you may not feel as deeply connected. But here's what we all share. We live in a world that constantly weighs us down. Fear, regret, hurry, comparison, anxiety, burdens we were never meant to carry, right? So today we're going to talk about decluttering the soul and creating space for God to fill us with His peace. And if you walked in here today and your heart is in all kinds of different ways this morning, the good news of the gospel is the same to whatever state your heart is. Jesus takes the weight that we were never meant to carry. And so this morning I want us to go to this Hebrews chapter 12. If you've got your Bible, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. And I've got three main questions. There's a few questions I'm going to ask kind of interspersed in here. But I've got three main questions that I want to ask you today. And the first one that I want to start with is what weight am I carrying that Jesus never asked me to? Right? What weight are you carrying this morning that Jesus never asked you to carry? And this brings us to our verse that we're going to read this morning. I'll just go ahead and read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, when I look at this verse, and I love this verse, I've had this one underlined in my Bible for a long time. When we look at this verse and it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us," there's a little Greek word here, apothetema. It means to throw off. It means to strip away everything. It means to lay it down deliberately. And it means it's not casual. It's not just, hey, this is going to just roll off your shoulders. This actually, you have to do something about this. It's not something that falls by itself. You have to choose to remove it. That's what this means. And so when it says, throw off everything that hinders, you have to make that choice to throw off everything that is hindering you. And I want you to notice something that it says here. It's not just talking about sin, because it says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, the sin that so easily encumbers us, right? So it makes a distinction there between the two, that not everything that we need to throw off is sin. Right? Sometimes we need to throw off things that may not actually be sin. They might just be a distraction. They just might be the thing that has our attention in this moment. And so not everything that it needs to be removed is just sin. Sometimes it's something that hinders. Sometimes it's something that distracts us. It could be shame. It could be guilt. Could be fear of what the future holds. It could be the drive to try to keep up with the family next door to you. It might even be anger at what you can't control today. that might be the things that you may need to throw off this morning. And I started thinking about that last night, and we were at Men's Alliance yesterday morning, and they do this thing called the buy-in, right? And before we start the workout, you take a lap around the church. And as we started our run, Pastor Trent, he's not in here, I don't think. Pastor Trent, you can mess with him about this in a little bit. Pastor Trent doesn't sweat, all right? I don't know why. He's just a little guy. He doesn't sweat. And as I was running behind him, and I kind of mentioned to Jason Whitaker, I said, you put 50 pounds on that frame, I said, I guarantee you he'll sweat, right? Because some of us know that, that it's the weight that makes that difference, right? The more weight you have to run with, the more difficult it is. And this is what it's speaking to. It says, listen, there's a race that we're all running, and the race itself is not the problem. We have to run the race. The race is not the problem. What's the problem is when we carry all the weight in the race that Jesus never intended for us to carry. It's the weight that we choose to carry. It's the weight that we don't throw off. It's the weight of the things that we continue to pile in our life and continue to pile in our mind, and we continue to drag with us from one day to the next. And some of us are so exhausted, not because life is so hard, it's because we're carrying all the stuff that Jesus never asked us to carry. And so there's a couple other questions I want to ask, and a couple of the questions are this, is what feels heavy in your life right now? When you wake up in the morning, what are you tired from before you even get out of bed? Does that make sense? Some of us were tired before we even get out of bed. And it's like, how does that make any sense? But some of you understand how that makes sense, because you're like, man, there's things I'm carrying. There's things on my mind. There are things that weigh me down. And we look at this and we say, what's making my life heavy right now? Is it the weight of a conversation that you had 3 months ago, and now it just keeps replaying in your mind? It keeps replaying in your mind, and you're trying to figure out what to do with that. Or maybe you feel like you're the parent that is failing at parenting, because you look at everybody else's social media feed and you think, they're an amazing parent, and I'm just a loser of a parent, right? Is that what you're carrying? Maybe it's the fact that some of us, we have financial weights. Right? There's financial responsibilities and obligations that we have, and we're trying to figure out how to make them all work. Sometimes it feels like there's more month than we have money. Anybody ever been there, right? And so we have these weights that we carry around. Maybe it's the weight of anger over things that happen in our world that you have no control over, right? And it's these weights that we carry through life. And Jesus says, I never meant for you to carry that. I never meant for you to carry that weight. And so when we read scriptures like Hebrews 12:1, it says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, right? We have to think about, what is that? What is that weight that seems heavy? See, even our bodies will tell us, hey, there's weight that you're carrying, right? And some of you say, absolutely, Pastor. And I'm not just talking about a physical weight, but this weight of the things of shame and depression and anxiety. All these are weights that we can carry emotionally, we can carry inside of us mentally, right? And they get heavy. And our body will actually tell us that they're heavy. Our body will be tense. Our back will be tight. We'll carry that stress. Maybe our jaw is clenched. Anybody ever been there, right? And what your body is saying, hey, your soul is cluttered with something that is putting an effect on us physically, right? And so your body will even tell you how much your soul is carrying. And a lot of times it's saying too much. Your soul's carrying too much, because we feel that physically. But here's what Jesus never asked us, right? Jesus never asked us to carry a lot of this stuff. And some of the stuff that Jesus never asked us to carry was this. He never asked us to carry shame over forgiven sin. But some of us, we still carry the same shame over a sin that Jesus forgave us of. Some of us carry anxiety about something that may happen or may not happen tomorrow, right? But we're anxious about that. Some of us, we carry the weight of other people's approval. And Jesus said, I never ask you to carry that. I never ask you to carry that. Some of us, we carry the responsibility to fix only what God can fix. And Jesus, once again, is saying, hey, I never ask you to be God. I never ask you to do my job. So what weight are you carrying this morning that Jesus never asked you to carry? See, God can't fill a soul that is already overcrowded. He can't fill a soul that's already crowded and cluttered. So what is that? What does that look like for you? What does your soul look like? Right, me and Raina, we cleaned out our garage somewhat yesterday. I'll say somewhat, right, because there's still more to do, right? But she could park her car in there, and that's what it was built for, right? When they built that garage, they built it so that a car could be parked in there. Some of us, we have not been able to park our car in our garage in a long time. And you're saying, well, that's not it. It wasn't built to do that right there. But that's the same way for us. Our bodies weren't built for this. We weren't built for this. And Jesus, like, I did not create you to carry this weight that you're carrying. And so God cannot fill a soul that's already overcrowded. So that's the question. The first question that I'm asking you today is this, is what weight are you carrying this morning that Jesus never asked you to carry? Second question I want us to answer today is this, is where am I being too noisy for God? Where am I being too noisy to hear God, right? Now, my family is loud. We are a loud family, are we not? Yes, we are. And they're being quiet now. But you get us all together, and it's just a cacophony of noise, and we're picking each other, we're laughing, we're enjoying each other's company, right? And this is on both sides of the family, right? This is just how we're just a loud family. You know, and you think about, you know, just being loud, and maybe all the games that happened yesterday. You think about trying to whisper in a crowded stadium, right? Just like, what? What did you say? But some of us, that's what we're doing with God. We're saying, hey, I can't hear you because there's so much noise in our life that's turned to volume 10. Right? It's turned all the way up. There's so much commentary, and maybe it's from pundits, and maybe it's from newscasts, and maybe it's from podcasters. Wherever it comes from, there's so much noise in our world that sometimes we can't hear what God wants to say to us. And my question to you is this, is where am I being too noisy to hear God? This psalm that I want us to look at, Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46:10, this is what it says. It says, be still and know that I am God. This word, be still, it's a translation of a Hebrew word. This little phrase, be still, is a translation of a Hebrew word, harpu, which is it has the root of another Hebrew word, rapha. And what this means is to literally cease striving. It means to let go. It means to relax your grip. And this is what I want you to do right now. I want you to do this experiment with me. I want you to take your hands, I want you to make a fist. Yep, don't punch anybody, okay? I know some of you guys are saying this is my opportunity, right? The pastor did not tell you to punch anybody, not yet. No, I'm not going to tell you to punch anybody at all. But I want you to take that fist, and I want you to clench it as tight as you can, right? And this is how some of us walk around through life. We walk around through life so clenched and so, man, I'm just waiting for somebody to knock the chip off of my shoulder. I'm just waiting for somebody to ask me the wrong question. I'm just waiting for somebody. And it's like we're so pent up with frustration. We're so pent up with anger. And we walk around, and you may not physically have your hands clenched, but this could be like the picture of you just walking around, right? Bring it on. So who's next? Right? I'm just ready to unload. There's some people, you're wanting them to ask you the wrong question so that you can unload on them. I've been ready to tell them this for a long time. And this is you. This is your life, the clenched fist. And what this scripture right here is telling us, he's like, hey, be still and know that I'm God. I want you to just open your hands. See, this is not the posture of people who can follow Jesus. How do I know this? Because we saw disciples try to do this. For a long time, this was Simon Peter's posture. I'll punch everybody out, Jesus. Don't you worry. I got your back, right? He was ready to go. And Jesus says, I'm not asking you to do that. He says, you've missed the point, Simon Peter. He's like, I'm asking you to be still and open your hands and know that I am God. And what is that? What does that look like for us? I think that looks more like the posture of someone who comes to worship. This is the posture of someone who comes to worship. This is not the posture of someone who comes to worship. This is the posture of someone who comes for a fight. And God is saying to us, he said, hey, be still and know that I am God. The posture I am asking you is this: release your grip. You're living like everything depends on you. Some of us do that. Some of us live our life like this. Everything depends on me. And if I don't do it, if I don't make it happen, it's not going to happen. And it's not going to get done. Some of you feel that way. I had a guy tell me once, he would wake up in the morning and he would look at himself in the mirror and he would have all this weight that we're talking about, that all these things he felt like he had to do. And so he got up one morning and he got a post-it note and he wrote on the post-it note, he says, today I resign as the master of the universe. And he put it on his mirror. And for him, that was him saying, hey, I'm not walking through life like this anymore. Today I resign. God, it's yours. I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to give it to you. And that's what that looks like. That's the difference between walking through life with clutter and noise and walking through life with clarity and freedom, right? Where we're able to release it and say, God, I give it to you. I put this in your hands. So who's been the loudest voice in your head this week? Who's that been, right? Who's that voice that you've heard this week? Or what has that voice been? Has it been anger? Has it been fear? What has it sounded like to you? The voice that you hear might be drowning out the one voice that you need to hear. The voice that you're hearing or the voices that you're hearing may be drowning out the one voice of Jesus speaking into your life, and he's saying, hey, I'm still God. I'm still in control. I'm still working. You can rest in that. Be still and know that I am God. And so what's he asking, right? He's not asking you to be uninformed. He's not asking you to be uncaring. He's not asking you to not walk through this life and do the things that you need to do. He's asking you to let him do the things he needs to do. That's what he's asking you. See, sometimes we're restless with that, and we just hold on to life so tightly. It's like a death grip, right? It's almost like sometimes that's the picture I get in my head is I've got a hold on life like this, and it's not be still and know that I am God. It's like, Ryan, everything is relying on you, and you got to make it happen. But this is kind of the picture, this other picture that I get. When my son Kobe was a baby, we had this crib, and his room was right across the hallway from us. And I would put Kobe down at night, and just as soon as I'd walk out of the room, Kobe seemed like he was asleep. About 30 seconds later, as I'm crawling in the bed to go to sleep myself, Kobe would get up, he'd start crying, right? He'd get up and start crying. And so what I started doing was this, is that I would put Kobe down, and where his crib was at, I would just kind of step back, kind of behind the crib into the shadow of the room, and I just stood there. And I knew eventually he was going to stand up again, and he was going to stand at the edge of the crib, and he was going to, I'm awake, come get me, right? And just as soon as he did that, what I did was I stepped out of the shadow, right? And it sounds creepy, I know, right? And I said, boo. No, I didn't say that. I called him by name. I said, Kobe, you're okay. Lay down, son. And you know what he did? He would look at me and realize, oh, Dad's right here. I can lay down and I can be okay. Right? And I would step back and he would cry out, Kobe, hey, son. Lay down. You're okay. See, some of us right now, we're like the little kid in the crib, and we think, hey, he's walked out on me, he's left me, and God's standing right there, and he's saying, hey, he's calling your name. He's like, you're okay. I've got this. I'm your Father. I'm here. Be still and know that I am God. So for us, we hold the death grip on life. It's like, I got to do this. Be still. And I'm going to release this into your hands, Lord Jesus. Right? Because I don't need a death grip on life when God has his grip on me. Okay? This morning, as we look at this third question, what do you need to release so Jesus can fill you? What do you need to release so Jesus can fill you? This is what Hebrews says, and we read this just a few minutes ago, right? We read the first part of that, but in part two, this is what it says. Looking to who? To Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. What does that mean? That means he initiates the faith and he sustains the faith. That means he starts it and he sustains it. He keeps it going. He's the one that keeps it going. But some of us, you know what? Our eyes are on everything else. I don't know if you've ever done this. Have you ever been driving down the road and started looking at something? Maybe there was a wreck or something else that was happening maybe in the other lanes. And as you're looking, you realize you kind of weave out of the lane that you're in. No, y'all are better drivers than me, okay? So this is just me, right? Do you realize that your feet are going to follow wherever your eyes go? Your feet will follow wherever your eyes are focused. Whatever you're focused on, that's where your life is going to go. So what are you focused on today, guys? Where are you focused? Who are you focused on? Because I would say this, if you're not focused on Jesus, your life is following somebody else or following something else. And so this morning, this is what he says. He says, hey, fix your eyes on me. I am the igniter of your faith, the beginner of your faith, and I am sustaining that faith each and every day that you look at me and not everything else. And see, we got to get our eyes off the clutter. And that's what this means. It means this word is a little Greek word, and it means to intentionally take your eyes and move it to something else and fix it there. Not just glance at it, to keep watching. It's a steady, intentional stare. It's a look into something that is greater, right? And this is what Jesus invites us to. Now, I'm going to ask the band if they'll come. The thing I want you to know is this, is that Jesus, he doesn't just take things away. He doesn't just want you to, hey, just empty your thoughts and empty yourself, right? That's like Eastern religion. Eastern religions ask you to empty yourself. Jesus never asked that. He says, I want you to get the stuff out so I can put in what should be there. He wants to remove and he wants to replace it with what gives us life. That's when we can look and say, hey, I can have life and have it more abundantly. I can have life and have it to overflowing because we've removed the clutter. And Jesus has filled it with what truly gives us life. Won't you stand with me today? The invitation is to every one of us this morning. Who are you trusting? What are you surrendered to? What noise are you listening to? Where are your eyes fixed? I need to do this morning for every one of us is fix our eyes on Jesus. Yeah.
not sure how